hateful graffiti at an Islamic college in Melbourne, dismembered pigs thrown onto graves in a Muslim cemetery in regional New South Wales, Muslim woman spat on, abused and threatened in Perth. They're just some of the incidents reported in the wake of the Bondi Beach terrorist attack. The Australian National Imams Council says incidents of Islamophobia have risen sharply since it was revealed the Bondi gunmen were motivated by extremist Islamic ideology. Bilal Rauf is a barrister and special advisor to the council. We spoke earlier.
Thank you, Barbara.
I outlined there some of the incidents you've reported. Just give me a flavour, though, if you would, of what the community's feeling.
Of course. Look, the community is feeling a heightened distress and anxiety with not only what's happening and the nature of it, but the increase or the extent of the increase in the number of incidents that are being reported, not just through to the Imams Council, but community organisations across the country. And most of it, I must say, has been targeted at women and young girls, very sadly, particularly those who are readily identifiable by, for instance, the hijab or the veil, and appear to be really drawing a lot of the abuse which is occurring.
Concerns have been raised for some time about a rise in Islamophobia. Can you definitely pinpoint a spike following the Bondi terrorist attack?
Yes. Look, sadly, it's been an ongoing experience, but certainly following the horrific murders in Bondi, there has been quite an 200% increase in the number of reports that are coming through to the Imam Councils, and in some places with some organisations even more. And, to the extent that these are coming in and being formally noted or recorded, so there certainly has been a very obvious and clear spike in the number of incidents.
There's obviously a lot of focus now on how to keep the Jewish community safe. Do you think there's enough focus on how to keep possible victims of Islamophobia safe?
Look, the important thing is that every Australian deserves to be safe and feel safe and be able to go about whatever their life and activities. And sadly, the Australian Muslim experience has had an experience over many, many years of not receiving the same level or that protection. And that, for instance, even leading up to the horrific incident in Christchurch and soon after that, there was similarly then a spike. And, I can assure you that there wasn't any call for any Royal Commission or anything like that. So there was a very different level of attention.
Would you like to see a call, a Royal Commission into Islamophobia in Australia?
Well, I think it's one of those things that there are some very obvious institutional steps that can be taken and support that can be given. And because a lot of it also stems from divisive rhetoric, which sadly plays out in parts of the media and indeed among some politicians. We've seen, the examples of Pauline Hanson and the fact of her even being applauded in Bondi. And, these are people that, in my view, engage in divisive rhetoric. And rather than bring us together, particularly at a time like the present, when we are going through a crisis, what becomes important is that we stand together and our leaders bring us together and keep us together, but instead the divisive rhetoric has the opposite effect, that is to divide us and to scatter us as a society and as a country.
What specific commentary are you alluding to there?
Well, there have been instances of former and in some cases current politicians, particularly after the wake of the Bondi murders, who saw it appropriate, for example, to highlight particular communities or faiths or people by associating them with locations. And things like this, not only are they unhelpful, but they have that effect of emboldening others who might have hate or prejudice in their hearts and minds to suddenly express it. And You know, so certainly after many of those comments or statements, that's when we experienced the spike. Now, in my view, when people hear these things publicly by leaders and on media, there suddenly is an impression of acceptability that it is more permissible, and suddenly, you know, you see these expressions of hatred and in some instances turning into abuse, and that's what we've seen. So sadly, it impacts on those who are the most vulnerable, not necessarily those who can stand up and speak for themselves, but those who are more vulnerable to it.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Bilal Rauf from the Imams Council. We're talking about a steep rise recorded in Islamophobic incidents in the wake of the Bondi terror attack. I just want to get, though, a little bit more specific. You've called out Pauline Hanson by name. What statements from her, or are there also statements from the federal opposition and the federal government that you take issue with?
Look, there are, you know, general statements made about, for instance, locations.
What do you mean by that? Well,
I mean suggestions that there are places of hate in particular locations, and I'm not being vague for any other reason that I don't necessarily want to repeat some of those expressions, because I don't think that helps, and I certainly don't want to reinforce it. But there have been statements about places of hate in particular locations in Sydney, for example, or references to radical religion, or, you know, as practiced by people. And all of these things, the problem is there's not only a massive conflation of ideas and concepts, but in the mind of the ordinary person who may not necessarily bear any distinction or, you know, any nuance, they hear that it's, for instance, Muslims or Islam as the problem. When in fact, when you really just look at the facts, ISIS as an issue is something which has impacted more Muslims and indeed in Islamic countries. ISIS has killed thousands of Muslims. And in fact, Muslim organizations have very clearly denounced ISIS as having no connection to, for instance, Islam, and yet there is a discussion which will talk about ISIS, which will talk about the religion itself, and in the minds of ordinary people who may not know the facts, they may perceive it or understand it to be a reference to or connection with the religion, and then that plays out in other ways. And so that is so common. So terms such as radical Islam or Muslims having a problem, and so instead of it being a discussion about two individuals who, with their sick minds and intentions, perpetrated a horrific murder, it suddenly becomes this broader discussion and speculative exercise in trying to frame and play the blame game and apportion responsibility.
Well, authorities have stated that they think this was a crime motivated by religious hatred. Do you reject that?
Well, I short answer is I don't know, and that comes down to the facts and circumstances. I do understand that there was a connection with ISIS, including the place where these individuals travelled to. Now, if that's so, let's be clear. ISIS is not Islam, is not Muslims.
Is it radical Islam?
What's that? Let me ask you that. What's radical Islam? And that's the misnomer. That, to me, is the problematic phrase. What's radical Islam?
How would you describe, then, what ISIS is?
ISIS is a terrorist organisation. It is a terrorist organisation which is hijacked, whether it be religious ideas or titles for the sake of legitimacy, but it doesn't make it Islamic at all. And that's something that's, you know, repeated all over the world. But, you know, just because it's appropriated a name doesn't make it so. And especially when you look at the facts of the situation, that it regards many Muslims as non-Muslim and has killed hundreds of thousands of Muslims across the world. And in fact, there are people who are associated with the Imams Council who are on the the, you know, the death list of ISIS. That is that ISIS want them killed. But these are people in Australia who are associated with the Imams Council. Why? Because they have clearly denounced ISIS as an organisation. So let's call them ISIS. Let's call them a terrorist organisation. But let's also be clear, they do not have any association with Islam, the religion, or Muslims, the adherents. And so, you know, in the same way that...
But it's in the name, isn't it? ISIS is the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant.
Sure, but you know, in similar vein, if we take someone like, you know, the person who perpetrated the Christchurch murder with his right-wing ideologies and appropriation, misappropriation of Christian ideas, we don't attribute that to Christian or Christianity, and nor should we. And in the same way here, it's a terrorist ideology and organisation, and we need to call it out for that.
One location, just to return to that theme, that mm-hmm. was named was the centre where Wissam Haddad was preaching. Do you support the fact that it was shut down?
Absolutely. Look, places like that, hate wherever it appears, in whatever guise it appears in, needs to be confronted. And I understand that that location was closed down, that centre was closed down. And I should note that people within the community have been raising concerns about it for some time. It has now been shut down, and I think that's the appropriate step, absolutely.
There has been talk about, for example, the arming of or Jewish security services for more events than they're currently able to be armed for. Do you think that the Muslim community needs more protection?
The short answer is yes to the protection, but I also draw breath there and take a pause to think that, you know, walls and guns won't solve the issue for us as Australians in Australia. We can have all the guns and walls we want, all the punitive and authoritarian measures, all the criminal laws, but that won't solve hatred where it festers in the hearts and minds of people. The way we confront it, first and foremost, is to stand together, is to work together, is to do more initiatives together. And that's something, for instance, you know, even at a personal level, I have been trying to do in terms of interacting for the first time very closely with a rabbi who I've befriended and attended a vigil with and spoke with and have been speaking to regularly with since. And he's at the Emmanuel Synagogue in Woolara. But in my mind, the important issue here is that we, as Australians, we reach out to each other and we do more of understanding and connecting with each other. That's how we confront hatred. We don't confront it with guns and walls and criminal laws alone. And indeed, if we put the emphasis there, the concern is that it creates a more insular society where groups are guarded behind walls. Is that the Australia we want?
And just one more question on changes announced in the wake of the Bondi attack. Do you support the restrictions on protests now in place in New South Wales?
Look, there's a real concern there that there is the improper suppression of what is a legitimate distress and trauma and concern that people are experiencing with what's occurring in Gaza, where hundreds of thousands of people have been killed, men, women and children.
Hundreds of thousands in Gaza?
Well, certainly tens of thousands, and I would have thought by now nearing 100,000, and which is a big number. And there is utter devastation. I'm sure you've seen, Barbara, the pictures coming out of Gaza, and perhaps you're not concerned, I don't know, but when I see it, it is terrifying. It is horrific. And people are rightly concerned. We saw the march across the bridge, which had about, on some estimates, 300,000 people. And they were people from all walks of life, all different communities and within Sydney. And they were expressing concern for what's occurring abroad in the same way that people did for Ukraine or other places where people have suffered. And The issue with targeting protests is that it removes a legitimate platform within our society to express trauma. I know many Australian Palestinian families who have had generations wiped out, and for them, they see it as an opportunity to remember those deaths, those family members, and express that concern through the protest. Now, if you remove that, you're stifling the trauma and concern of many Australians. And the question arises, well, once you do that, then the trauma just doesn't disappear. It goes underground, and God forbid, but it may express in other ways. But it is a concern, and the conflation and connection between what occurred at Bondi and the protests, in my mind, is utterly erroneous and liable to lead to more difficulties and problems than resolve.
Should people at those protests be allowed to hold signs saying globalise the Intifada?
With protests and the messaging and the communications, all of that needs to be considered. And obviously, if there's a concern about any sign, then these things in their isolated form need to be confronted. But that doesn't mean you shut down the whole protest itself. Like I say, otherwise you've got this significant trauma in many parts of, in many people within our society, which is suddenly stifled and has no opportunity to be expressed in the way that it has been. Protesting in itself has been a very important civic right within our society in the history of our country. And it is troubling when suddenly there's talks of completely suppressing it.
Bilal Rauf, we wish you a safe and happy new year, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Barbara. You too.